Our Old Testament reading today comes from Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verses 1 and 4 through 7. Now let us listen for the word of the Lord. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other peoples Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too will have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have our New Testament reading for this morning, which is from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So yeah, definitely not Pastor Dan this morning. I don't think he could handle these shoes, even if he tried. So I've been attending this church, and I'm very happy to be here with you. I'm a member in discernment in the United Church of Christ with the Northern California Nevada Conference, and I'll be here with you this morning. And before we get started, I want everyone, I really hate it when pastors ask me to do things during worship, but now I'm going to ask you guys to do that because I'm not sitting there. So I want everybody to close your eyes, or keep your eyes open if you want, and think about a teacher, someone who looks like a teacher to you. And I really want you to envision what they look like, how tall they are, what kind of clothes they're wearing, maybe what their demeanor is like. Maybe your teacher has a particular gender. Maybe you had mostly female teachers or male teachers. And once you have that image in your head, I want you to think of another person who's the complete opposite of everything that you just imagined. And that's the image of the teacher I want you to keep in mind while we read this scripture, the second one. You can go ahead and open your eyes. And what if the one who is on the outside is our teacher? What if someone who doesn't belong, who can't come in, who shouldn't be allowed, and who actually is not even allowed to come in and be with us, what if that's our teacher? What if that's someone who doesn't need our help or our charity, but someone who can actually give something to us? In the church, we talk a lot about serving people on the margins. We talk a lot about, you know, what we would call direct service, giving something to someone. Maybe it's a hot meal, maybe it's a pair of socks. And we think about those people out there who need our help. Some people take it a step farther and talk about being with people on the margins. and the dignity that is conveyed to someone when, if we are the ones who have the power, sit down with them as equals at the table, or sit down with them as equals in the park next to their tent, or sit down with them as equals in a jail and talk with them. Talk about being with people on the margins. But what we sometimes forget and don't get to is how we can learn from people who we say are on the margins. When we are not the teacher, we are not the giver, but we are instead the receiver by someone who we think needs our help. And what would it mean if we could be taught by and learned from that person? Now, I think the scripture could be a very straightforward story reminding us that God always has the power to heal and that God should be thanked in all things. And I absolutely know that those two things are true. But as with so much of the Bible, God is always calling us to more deeply examine ourselves and to come closer to Him. And there's one particular line that makes this story take a change that maybe we weren't expecting. And that line says, "And he was a Samaritan." So Jesus is on his way to what he knows will be his death. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's going from north to south. He's going from Galilee through Samaria. Jesus is on the border between places that don't talk to each other, are fearful about each other, and are suspicious of people who are not where they're from, who are not from where they're from. And the scripture says that Jesus sees them. At a time when lepers were on the outside, the ones who couldn't be included, not only does Jesus hear their call for mercy, but it says he sees them. To be seen is to be known. To be seen is to have dignity conveyed upon you. To say, God sees you, I see you, you exist in this world. Your space is equal to everyone else's space that they take up in this world. They're the ones who stay at a distance because society has told them they are not welcome. So Jesus gives them this instruction, which is a both religious and political instruction. For them to be A, healed of their leprosy, and B, that means they can actually be restored to the community, they have to go and show themselves to the priest. Now, here's the part that we get to when it says, and one was a Samaritan. Or it doesn't say one, he. We don't know how many Samaritans were in this group. Samaritans, as someone said, are close cousins of the Jews during this time. The main difference is they don't worship at the temple in Jerusalem. And because they don't worship at the temple in Jerusalem, they are not allowed to go show themselves to the priests. So Jesus is telling this man to do something that he cannot do. It's not because he cannot physically get there. It's because the religious and by default power structures are telling him, you can't come in. Even though this is the way you could be healed, you're not allowed, and by default you will always stay on the outside. They aren't part of the way we do things here. They worship in a different place. It doesn't matter that to God, they are all equal, all of the people in this group. To those in Jerusalem, they have turned them into foreigners. They have been forced to be foreigners in the place where they live. The one who praises God, who does what is right, whose story is retold here to show us what is right, is someone who the religious and political structures have set up to never be able to access the right way of doing things. The Bible is full of stories that demonstrate the rules and the structures and the policies, we would probably call them in a modern sense, that we set up for ourselves as humans to keep some people out and other people in. And every time God shows up, God reminds us that those are all things we made up for ourselves. That's not God's way. God's way isn't to keep some people out and some people in. With God, everyone is in. And when I was reading this scripture this morning, I just couldn't help but think of my friend, Jose. Jose and I met probably about 2 months ago. Jose is an asylum seeker from Guatemala. He's here with his son. And because of the way certain policies are set up, they were forced into an extremely dangerous journey to get out of an extremely dangerous situation they were in. Certain death, dangerous journey to possibly not reach death. And about 6 weeks after they had arrived in the States, and I had known them for maybe a month at this time, I get this phone call from Jose, and he says, "I really got to talk to you about something. I've been really nervous about telling you. But my son is 10 years old. My son has all these red marks all over his body, and I haven't wanted to tell anybody about it. And I don't mean to be a burden, but he's scratching himself, and I think this happened when we had to stay. We had 5 days where we couldn't take a shower. We were at a shelter in Mexico on our way to the United States. I thought, do they have bed bugs? And he said, "You're the only person that I know who can maybe help us." The reason I got connected to Jose in the first place is because of this giant thing right here, the Bible, which tells us to care for our neighbor and to welcome the stranger. So I'm making all these phone calls trying to figure out what could be wrong. His son is also named Jose, so I just call them the Jose's jointly. Trying to figure out what's wrong with the Jose's. And what happened is they had scabies, which is a pretty hideous infection. They got scabies because they had to stay at a shelter in Mexico for 5 days, like I said, where they couldn't take a shower. And I actually called Jose this morning before I came to church because I said, "You know, I'm reading the scripture and it's reminding me of this thing that happened. And I just wanted to ask you, why didn't you want to tell me about that?" And he said, I was embarrassed. I didn't want to be a burden, but it's my son, it's my son. If it was just me, I would have found another way to take care of it, but it's my son, and I don't know anybody who can help us, and I know that we have to have medicine to fix it. So when we had gone to the clinic, we found one place in Sacramento that serves children that don't have insurance. And we got treatment for scabies. But the first thing that Jose said, and what he has said to me, every single thing that has happened in the time that I've known him, "Qué grande es Dios." Look how great God is. Look how great God is. Not, "Amanda, thank you so much for doing this for me." Although he did say that later. Not, "Gosh, I'm so lucky that people are helping me," although he did say that later. The first thing that he always says is, "Look at God. Look how great God can be." And I'm just reminded in this story, you know, Jose is someone who some people think shouldn't be here. Some people think that fleeing violence means you've done something wrong. Some people think that trying to save your family should be a crime. Some people think that little 10-year-old kids who have scabies shouldn't be treated. And that really breaks my heart because I see over and over in the scriptures that Jesus loves to show up in those spaces where we don't really know what's right and wrong. We don't really know who belongs where. We don't really know where the line is. Those places where people have to go who are on the outside because maybe that's the only place that's safe for them is a place that's far away enough from the people who have the power and say, no, this is the circle where things are safe and you need to go over there. You need to stay over there. And I am so thankful that God continues to break down in my own heart those ways that we think about us and them. Because for God, there is no us and them. There's only us. And as we hear the scripture and we hear Jesus continuing to show up and saying, I'm going to tell you a way to make yourself whole. And that way is going to actually require the whole community to rethink what wholeness means. Because if we're setting up a way that somebody can't access our church or can't access our community or can't be part of us or feels like they can't come sit with us as equals, we know that that's our own sin. That's not God's way. And that's not God's desire for the world. So as we think about what God calls us to, because in every scripture there is an invitation. And as we think about how God loves to show up in those really confusing spaces where we don't know maybe who the good guy or the bad guy is, we're not sure who's right or who's wrong, we're not sure who's in or who's out, I hope that we're reminded that the person that we might think has the least to offer, the person that whatever our structures and rules and society has told us doesn't belong and can't even find the way to get in the right way to belong, like the Samaritan, could actually be the one to show us how we should be praising God and how we need to get right with God. Amen.